Welcome back to another episode of Queer Christian Family Values Podcast. My name is Alex Birchnell, your host, and let's get started. So today I wanted to talk about a question or a request that was actually submitted on our Patreon. A little plug here, if you go to patreon.com/QCFV, you can definitely get first dibs on any themes, any questions, anything like that you'd like in our podcast. You also get early access, all of which is just $1 a month. Also, if you want to get some extra perks, like some video chats with us, a phone number that you can actually text us, anything like that, then check out the different tiers. You've got $1, $5, or $10 a month, and we greatly appreciate your support. It helps us to keep doing what we're doing, and it goes right back into the ministry. So our question comes from Rebecca, again, Patreon supporter, and they ask, in future episodes, do you think you might talk more about the Affirming Church's theology? Looks like they're hoping to someday bring the conversation of becoming affirming to some friends and help start that kind of a conversation. So I greatly appreciate that question, and that's what this podcast is going to be about. And again, if you would like to submit your questions, you can do so on any of our platforms. But again, if you're a Patreon supporter, you get first dibs, and we'll get into it here in just a moment. All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into it now. I wanted to start off with saying that to affirm the LGBT community, in my opinion, again, this is all based on my experience. Other people could have a different opinion, but from everyone that I've spoken with, including myself as a queer trans man, married to another queer trans man or gay, however you want to umbrella us or box us in, whatever you want to call us, the best way to be affirming is to, one, love us exactly for who we are, not despite of who we are, to support our marriages and relationships, to be able and willing to have a conversation of understanding, to allow that person to tell you and speak their truth without feeling like they are going to be attacked, welcoming them into the church, into the leadership positions, into any ministry positions, and making sure that they feel safe to be who they are without any form of harassment or anything like that. And I am happy to say that the church that we go to, Landmark Worship Center, does all of those things and more, which is why QCFV is now their media production company. And you can check them out if you go to landmarkworshipcenter.net. You can learn more about them. They also broadcast all of their services, which we actually produce, live on their Facebook every Saturday at 7 p.m. The Facebook is facebook.com/LandmarkWorshipCenterJC. You can also check all of those out. I'll make sure the links are all in our show notes below. But let's go ahead and jump into it. So to answer the question, let's talk about what affirming theology can look like. I tend to direct people to a Reformation Project started by Matthew Vines. And if you go to reformationproject.org, specifically reformationproject.org/biblical-case, that is where you're going to find quite a bit of great information on what an affirming stance looks like. I'm going to take you through several of them. Let me see how many there are. There's 10. Yeah, there's 10 of them. So I'm going to read each one and then we can talk about them. So the first one is, experience of sound Christian teachings should show good fruit, not bad fruit. So when whatever the teaching is it harming the LGBTQ person's lives? Is is it causing them to self-hate? Is it causing them to contemplate suicide? Those sort of things. The next one is the Christian tradition does not address sexual orientation. This is one of the ones that tends to cause the most controversy for people that have an unaffirming stance. I'm actually going to read this little paragraph to you, which may help you. In the ancient world, same-sex behavior was widely considered to be a vice of excess that might tempt anyone, like gluttony or drunkenness. Same-sex attraction wasn't understood as the sexual orientation of a small minority of people. Affirming Christians are not overturning the Christian tradition on LGBTQ plus people until recent decades. There has been no Christian tradition on LGBTQ people. We'll go back into that one, but I'm going to go ahead and move on. Celibacy is a gift, not a mandate. The Bible actually honors celibacy, so trying to require all LGBTQ people to be celibate is actually going against biblical teaching. If you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 through 9, and Matthew 19, verse 11, it goes into that. It is that celibacy is a gift, not a mandate. Read a little bit into that one. Number four, gender complementarity is a set of social norms, not a biblical teaching. So Genesis and everybody goes back to that saying, well, man and women complement each other. It's not about that. And it's definitely not universal. And it talks about gender hierarchy and all of that stuff, but it is not a biblical teaching. It is strictly a social norm. Number five, the arc of Scripture points towards inclusion, not exclusion. Number six, Sodom and Gomorrah addresses gang rape, not a loving relationship. I don't actually know how people got that Sodom and Gomorrah were about gay people. That has always thrown me. It was about rape. And moving right along to number seven, the prohibitions in Leviticus do not apply to Christians. Specifically about male same-sex intercourse from Leviticus 18, verse 22, and then 20, verse 13. These laws never applied to Christians in light of Christ's death. They actually were talking about cultural things such as pederasty, gender roles, and social norms, pagan temple worship, or pagan worship, temple prostitution, all of that. It was never about two people that loved each other just because they were of the same sex. Never was about that, but specifically these prohibitions did not apply to Christians anyway. All right, number eight. Romans addresses unrestrained lust, not sexual orientation. This one I would actually like to read. It says, in the ancient world, it was assumed that all people could be satisfied with heterosexual sex, but that some people went beyond it due to their insatiable lust, leading them to engage in same-sex behavior. Paul isn't condemning being gay as opposed to being straight. He is condemning self-seeking excess as opposed to moderation, a concern made clear by his repeated use of the term lustful and by his description of people exchanging or abandoning heterosexual sex. We've got two more to go. Number nine talks about from 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, and it addresses exploitation. I'm going to read that one as well. The Greek words used in Paul in 1 Corinthians verse 6 or chapter 6 verse 9 and 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, malakoi and arsenikoi may have referred to certain forms of same-sex behavior, but most likely exploitative forms. In order to be faithful to Scripture, we must recognize a distinction between the same-sex behavior the Bible condemns and the desire of LGBTQ Christians for love, companionship, and family today. And then finally, the last one, it says, marriage is about covenant. According to Ephesians, marriage is fundamentally about commitment, keeping our covenant with our spouse as a reflection of God's own covenant with us through Jesus. The Bible does not teach that marriage requires procreation or gender hierarchy. Instead, it teaches that the essence of marriage is covenantal love and faithfulness, and Christian same-sex couples live out that vision of marriage every day. Again, all of this can be found on their website. There's actually videos and just so much information. They've got books, resources, just all kinds of stuff that you can go and check out. Again, go to reformationproject.org. But what I'm reading from, if you go to the website and click on, hover over the Learn, it'll actually say the biblical case, or just go to reformationproject.org/biblical-case or click the link in the show notes. Now, I do all of that to say this, that affirming stances go beyond just trying to decipher the Bible. Granted, a lot of people start with the Bible because that is where the majority of the pushback is going to come from. So you definitely have to tackle that, but just love people. You don't even have to agree all the time, but just simply love each other. And Christ should not be exclusive to people that just act and look like you. There was the whole, you know, situation between when Jesus came, he opened up the gateway to be able to let in Gentiles. So there was also a baptism of eunuchs, people that the Jews would never deal with. So by us saying that the LGBTQ plus people cannot have access to Christ and cannot be in the church is just complete hogwash, in my opinion. Yes, I use the term hogwash. So that is my stance. We are not trying, we don't always have to change people's minds, but we do have to learn to love people where they are, no matter what, and be willing to have that kind of a discussion. The next thing that I would suggest somebody to read would be, God and the Gay Christian, which was actually a book that I read early on when I was trying to grapple with my faith and who I was. That is also written by Matthew Vines, who is the founder of the Reformation Project. The other book that I would recommend would be Torn by Justin Lee. Both of those books are amazing at explaining the affirmation, affirming stance of LGBTQ plus Christians. Matthew's book, God and the Gay Christian, tackles biblical stances and re-explains them on a much more historical and give you a lot more context. Whereas Justin Lee's book, Torn, gives you his story and dealing with conversion therapy, trying to be to force himself to be straight, and that experience and what he dealt with, because he was a part of Exodus, which was a failed group that tried to force people to become straight. And so both of those books are amazing. I would definitely go for those and read those and see what you get from that. There's so many books dealing with the trans side of things, which is another thing that people, even if we can get people on board with gay, lesbian, bisexual, even if we can get them all on that, they still have an issue with trans people. So I recommend going on YouTube and finding Austin Hartke. His last name is spelled H-A-R-T-K-E. He is a YouTuber, and he has produced tons of videos that go into understanding Bible and trans people and how people can grapple with varying gender expression and all of that fun stuff. He's also an author. Let me actually Google. I know that's odd that I'm going to do that while I'm recording a podcast. Book by Austin Hartke. Because I know, yeah, he goes and it's Transforming. Oh, yes. This is called Transforming the Bible and the Lives of Transgender Christians. That is an awesome one to definitely go in there and read. He does, Transforming. And I feel like he's doing another one. but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But Austin Hartke, he is an amazing author, amazing speaker, and I definitely recommend checking him out. Those are some resources that I would go to. But other than that, really, it takes time getting people on board, and it may never happen changing people's minds, but you may have to just pray, and God may have to do it. But having a conversation with people in that community, in the LGBTQ plus community, is also another step to understanding what you might need to do to be able to make a place, a church, or people more affirming, or have a better affirming stance, because you'll know their story. So with all of that being said, I hope that can help give you some guidance on possible next steps to take. And again, our inbox is always open. You can message us or comment in our Patreon platform, or you can send us an email, write us on our website. You can go on Twitter, Instagram, all those fun things will be linked, or you can just search for Queer Christian Family Values and you'll find us on the interwebs. So with all that being said, I hope you have a great day, and hope that this quarantine situation hasn't made you completely nuts. I know it has me. I will see you in the next one. Bye.